Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Tuesday edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Stan Dale is going to be joining us in the third hour. Currently, right now, we've got just a wonderful gentleman by the name of Michael Terrell. His website, wholetoneslive.com. That's wholetoneslive.com. Now, you might not think, for people, you might not think that this is really an important subject. You might think, oh, this is just fluff and, clouds and good. No. You've got to listen to what Michael is saying. And you got to go to wholetoneslive.com, because there you can find healing and you can find relaxation. You can find a lot of music that is geared toward a specific purpose, whether it's relaxation. And it's just an amazing thing to understand what music, what frequency can do. And Michael is here to explain it. Before we get back to Michael Terrell, again, his website, wholetoneslive.com. That's wholetoneslive.com. And there, by the way, there are samples there you can download. If you don't believe me, download the samples. And I was talking to him during the break about our studio dog, Lady Loving, a specific frequency. I think it's on the Transformation CD where she just, between a Casper mattress and the Whole Tones Live, man, she just like zones out. But anyway, before we get back to our guest, I want to just tell you folks about Casper mattress. You know, folks, if you go to casper.com/CFP radio, that's casper.com/CFP radio, do yourself a favor. Enjoy a good night's sleep. And if you have arthritis, if you have bones that creak and ache and ouch, and oh my goodness, do what we did at the Hagman household. Invest in the Casper mattress. And when I say invest in it, you go to a normal mattress store or a furniture store. They give you a few minutes to try it out. You know, it's really not a good experience, at least not to me. Plus, the prices there, well, you're paying middleman prices. When you go to casper.com/CFP radio, you will find an incredible deal there. First of all, use the code CFP radio. That's CFP radio at checkout for $50 toward your mattress purchase. But shop the mattresses. Casper mattresses, they have just the right sink, just the right bounce. They combine two fantastic technologies that come together for a better night's sleep and for brighter days. That makes for brighter days. They've got this premium latex foam for this cooling effect and bounce. If you ever purchased, and folks, I'm going to tell you this, if you've ever gone on one of these television shows and, you know, that sell stuff, well, I don't even know the names of them, but, you know, and you buy like a memory foam mattress, you bring it home and or it gets delivered to your door. I'm going to tell you can tell the difference between what you buy at a mattress store or even on television compared to Casper mattress, because this Casper mattress uses two different technologies. It's obsessively engineered, developed and crafted with exacting standards in the United States. That's right. This isn't China stuff. No. This is developed and crafted with precise standards here in the United States. And it comes in a box. It's amazing. When ours was delivered, the delivery person said, "What's in there?" And I said, "The mattress." He said, No.
What's on the package?
Yeah, you know, and it was funny because they give you a little tool to open it. It's just a fun experience. Folks, go to Casper.com, and use our CFP radio. Okay, use the code, this is important, CFP radio, at the checkout toward a $50 purchase. And I got to tell you, lady or studio dog, out of all the mattresses in the house, but you know, we've got 95% are Casper mattresses. She always sleeps on a Casper mattress. She knows what's good. But they range in price from, my goodness, a queen size, $850. King size, $950. A full, and we have one of those for the guest room, $750. Compare those to the prices at the mattress store. You can't go wrong. You won't go wrong. I stand behind it. And by the way, you get a 100-night trial with a free return pickup if you decide, man, this isn't for me.
And you're right. I think we're still paying off the mattress 2 years ago.
See, you didn't listen to me. Actually, this is prior to Casper mattress, but Casper mattress, springy latex, love it, high density memory foam. They come together for just a perfect sleep. Four paws up from lady and you can't get any better than that. So back to Michael Terrell. He left off, and I just want to say, you know, why this is relevant for today. If you've ever searched, or if you've ever done any investigation, and I'm going to make some people's heads explode here about the Nazis. Yeah, I said Nazis. So you out there, go ahead.
Get out send of my me another. Head.
Yeah, they were actually the occult Nazis. Actually, pushed the support the Illuminati sponsored Goebbels to promote the adoption of the 440 Hertz standard by the British Standards Institute, which would apply to all musicians playing in Europe. That measure passed in 1939. Now, you've got to understand history during
so
World War II.
Laws to control how
well, actually, system. Yeah, yeah.
And you think about it, opera singers can sing it to a pitch which will shatter a glass.
Well,
or,
and they've actually during this time when opera singers kind of, it was really a mess because, as Michael was talking about, you know, when you try to raise your voice and it becomes hoarse. But what's the significance of 440 hertz? Well, Michael was talking about that. A more interesting question was why 432 hertz, the intuitive tuning frequency used since the inception of music in humanity, is so undesirable to the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Illuminatis, the Nazis. Why?
So
why?
440 acceptable, 432.
Yes. Yes.
Not.
And once you know that, see, and this is why it's important. This is why you need to listen to Michael. This is why we're bringing him on so he can explain all this, and he has done a wonderful job. So without further ado, Michael, go ahead, sir, and continue.
Isn't it amazing, guys, in the day that we live in, that we're looking at so many of the words of Jesus and Scripture, you know, why do you call that which is evil good, and why do you call that which is good evil? Isn't that where we're living right now? I mean, seriously, right? And so why would anyone expect something positive out of the Nazis? That was my point originally, was why was this so hard for people to grasp? Did we think that suddenly they would produce some stellar, wonderful, Holy Spirit-inspired music in the midst of their extermination of 9 million of God's people? Of course not. So I think the elemental thing is, first we have to realize one thing for sure, is that frequency is just part, it's like, you know what, if air hadn't been so elemental from the medical field to explain, you know, the pulmonary system and how the lungs work, then it could have been another word. It could have been frequency. What if frequency would have been the elemental, you know, first word that you learn in school as opposed to breathing or air? My point is that there's really no difference in it's one is virtually understood by all people. The other one is there's minutia of understanding of what frequency is. But as I continue my calling, which is to demystify these things that people have turned into all kinds of everything from Kundalini Christianity to witchcraft to insanity, you're judging God's creative force, how he made all things, how he spoke everything to existence. So I'm saying that the element behind pure frequency is love, obviously. And the element behind negative frequency is hatred. There's no doubt about these things. It's not even debatable. So when we read in 1 Corinthians, which I love, you know, you say, I've heard that before. Well, maybe you haven't thought about it since I've laid the first hour's foundation. Maybe you'll think about it different when I read this. And now I will show you the most excellent way. So there's a most excellent way. There's one, and it's not just any kind of love, is it? It's the agape love, or it's the selfless love. That's what it is. It's replete of what's in it for me. If I speak in the tongues, we could say frequency and we'd still be right, but let's just, so no one gets too nervous. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have no love, I am only what? A resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Those aren't positive frequency sounds. Those are bashing, crashing, not melodic, dissonant instruments that were not used in that capacity for worship. So what he's saying is, hey, listen, even if you can talk like a man or an angel, but the impetus behind what you're saying isn't charged with my agape love, to me it just sounds like a banging gong or a clanging cymbal. Years ago, as a minister, the Lord just absolutely one day just, he said something to me that just so totally revolutionized my life. It became my daily diagnostic, and I've never deviated from it in over 30 years. He said this. He said, Michael, I want you to ask yourself two questions before you conduct business, before you make a phone call, before you preach my word, before you even counsel anyone. I want you to ask yourself two questions. And he goes, here's a hint. They have the same answer. But if you can't derive that answer, then don't leave your room, don't get on the phone, don't conduct business. Lay on your face until you can answer them properly. And I said, what are the questions? He said, why do you do what you do? And who do you do it for? That changed my life. Two questions. Two questions from the Father. Why do I do what I do? And who am I really doing it for? Well, if the answer is anything other than Christ, lay down on the floor until you can get there. If it's for you, wrong answer. If it's for other people or for fame or fortune or so everybody likes you or you make a name for yourself, lay down on the floor. Until you see both the answers are synonymous. Why do you do what you do? I can ask the listeners that. Why are you doing what you're doing? And who are you doing it for? For me, the answer was Jesus on both of those questions. And when I can truthfully answer those questions, Jesus, and then I can walk out the door of my bedroom and I can begin to be Jesus to a world that desperately needs him. So I don't need to continue the rest of the scripture for you to get the idea here that if love isn't the impetus behind all of the creation or the fruit that hangs on your tree, then it doesn't matter how beautiful the fruit is or how intoxicating it is, or I could even expand it. It doesn't matter how much theological training you have or how much you think you know about the Bible or how spiritual that you discern that you are. If love isn't the impetus behind what you do, it's just more judgment. It's just a banging gong and a clanging cymbal. And at my age, after being in the ministry over 30 years, for me it was like, wow, this isn't what I expected. You know, when I was a kid, you know, and you, those of you that have, like, you know, teenagers or just, you know, the college-age kids, you'll be able to totally relate to this. When you talk to those kids, even though you made them, and even though you've paid the whole way for them, and even though you've loved them unconditionally and fed them and powdered their behinds and done everything else, when they turn 20, suddenly they know more than you do. Suddenly they know more than everybody does. And what's hysterical about that is so many of us are like that even with spiritual things. Man, when I was 21 or 22, 23, 24, I thought I knew how to fix everything. I knew how to fix the world. I knew what was wrong with the world. I had all the answers. Then I turned 30, and I had some doubts. Then I turned 40, and I figured, maybe I don't know quite as much as I think. Then I turned 50, and I realized that I was a moron. And I think that that there's a beauty to teachability, and there's a beauty to being a lifetime student, and there's a beauty to being flexible in the hands of a father that wants to be able to change you when he wants to, instead of you remaining rigid and saying, no, potter, get some new clay. And there's something magic and wonderful about just letting God have his way with you because you belong to him anyway. And if you do, then there's no end to what he won't do through you and with you. And hence whole tones. This wasn't like I sat around and thought, hey, this is a great idea. Man, I'm smart. I got to tell you guys the behind the scenes, or as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. I mean, as a musician, a trained musician, most of my entire life, I never was unseated as a saxophone player in all the years I played saxophone, and the same was true with the guitar. I was gifted to be a musician. I was gifted to write music. I was gifted to write for orchestras and to be able to compose music. However, when God called me to this, I didn't know what to do. And if you've ever been in a position where you're supposed to be in a leadership position, and when you know you're supposed to go in a recording studio and you hire all of your buddies that you love the way they play to come in and do something with you, you give them lead sheets, you give them direction, you say, hey, you know, we want to play this in kind of an andante, this is more of a slow type of... I went into the studio, and I sat on the floor, and I just started crying. And I didn't know what to do, and I felt so inept and so goofy and so, like, if God doesn't speak right now, I mean, And pride's out the window because you're sitting on the floor crying instead of telling the musicians what they should be playing, and there's no music, of course. And so most people don't think about this when they think about whole tones. They don't realize the humility that started the ball rolling is that here's a guy that always did this, and now he doesn't know what he's doing. And he's sitting in the studio with great musicians who, by the way, are being paid by the hour or on the clock. And they're staring at you, and they're looking for direction, and all you can do out of your crying, sobbing is saying, I'm just going to listen for, the Lord said that there's frequencies, and if I listen to them, that there's music in them, and he's going to draw them out. And they're like looking at me like, wow. And I said, but don't worry, because you're getting paid. Just pray for me, because I don't know what I'm doing. And they're thinking, great, because if you don't know what you're doing, we sure don't know what we're doing. And here's the cool thing, though, that I've never told anybody. The recording studio that we recorded at in Dallas was separated. And when I say that, I mean they were just isolation booths, which means we had no line of sight with each other. We couldn't see each other. We could only hear each other through headphones. Now, if you've listened to whole tones, or if you've experienced, or I challenge, you know, some of you guys, to just go and listen to the free samples at wholetoneslive.com. That's WHOLETONES.com. wholetoneslive.com. We have samples on there. You can listen to it. And the first thing you'll say is, wow, this sounds like it's being conducted. This is beautiful, hopefully. Wow, I feel something going on in my body, even more hopefully. This is bringing me closer to the Lord, most hopefully. But my point is this. We could not see each other. We could not direct each other. And I told the guys, and one of the reasons why I chose the musicians I chose is because all of them are spirit-filled believers that can flow in the spirit. They can hear God. If they can hear God, they don't need to hear me. So we're all in isolation booths. There's no music. There's nothing but waiting. And all of a sudden, we started to play. And all I can tell you is when we finished the first track, which was 396 hertz, it was 22 minutes and 22 seconds long. None of us had a watch. None of us had a clock. All we saw was the engineer in the glass room jumping up and down, going out of his mind in there, and I didn't know why. None of us did. We just, there's times, I mean, guys, think about the word. There's not much predictability in the true divine nature of the Father. He's not predictable. He's the first time through the fax machine. There's never been one like him. There'll never be another one like him again. He speaks things and they happen as soon as he says them. So here we are in this place and we go into the control room. I said, what's going on, you know, to the engineer? And he said, didn't you say something about Isaiah 22:22 in the key of David? I said, yeah. And he goes, that track ended precisely at 22 minutes and 22 seconds and you couldn't see each other and none of you had a watch. How is this happening? Well, it happened six more times.
No,
and
really?
It gets better. It gets better. And so not only are we recording 22-minute and 22-second long record utterances, they're utterances is what they are. They're not music, they're utterances. Here's the best part. It happened from stem to stern in 7 days. I haven't even done an EP in 7 days, which is an extended play CD, which is like two or three songs. We did seven songs at 22 minutes and 22 seconds, mixed down and ready to go to duplication in 7 days. And so I'm already going, this is the way. All the way I've been recording my whole life before in my own strength is for the birds. This, whatever God's doing, I want to do it like this every time. This is it. And so I'm sitting with James, our engineer, and he goes, can I even make it better? And I said, why, sure. God's always better than I can perceive. And he said, well, it's way better. He said, you didn't even know what today is, did you? And I said, no. He said, today's Passover. You just finished on Passover. And I was like, oh, my God. Wow. I just couldn't stop crying. I was like, man, I've tapped into something that God wants, and he found a heart that was his enough to make it happen. And all I had to do, and this is worth the whole night if you're listening tonight, all I had to do was get out of his way. And I said to the Lord, I said, are you serious? All these years of ministering and trying to help people, I've been an impediment to you? I've been a speed bump from glory to divinity to the manifestation of healing to people's lives because I just couldn't get myself out of your way. This is what happens if a man humbles himself and gets out of God's way. And he said, yes. I'm free to do anything I want to do. I'll do it like this every time if you stay out of my way. But I didn't know I had always been there. Are you hearing me? It's heartbreaking. It's gut-wrenching as a minister to know that you've been in God's way, even though you're a man of God. I'd been a speed bump in the way of God's will.
How many of us actually are doing that today? You know, Pastor Langford, which we consider our pastor, had told me one time, get out of God's way. I mean, you know, you're hitting some, pardon the pun, some pretty significant proper notes here, especially with me. Go ahead.
Well, so I said all that to say that, again, it's like everything else, you know, there's a lot of talk, you know. If you ever get a chance to read some of the stuff I wrote before the first Obama election and some of the things that I felt that was relevant, it's pretty amazing, really. But one of the things that I was feeling all along was that this was probably in 06, I believe. I just told my wife one day, I said, I can smell noise pollution in the airwaves. Everywhere I go, it's stifling how many people are saying things that don't matter and wasting words. There's just, the airwaves are full of nonsense and nothingness and non-activated words and negative words and hatred. And it was like I was smelling the worst pollution you've ever smelled in New York, but it wasn't pollution. It was the pollution of words and negative words and things that people were saying about other people. And, of course, the advent of the proliferation of Facebook, and everybody, if they want to yell at you, they just make bold caps on every word, and then you know you're being scolded. You know, it's kind of like so ridiculous, right? But I kind of got to the place where I realized that with whole tones, with my life, with everything else, I can't, you know, I've listened to your telecast, and I absolutely love what you two do. And I can say unequivocally that I just met you, and I love you already, and I'm proud of you. With that being said, I also know that in my strength, there's not much I can do about any of those topics that I listen to. It's kind of scary, and it's humbling to know that you can't do something yourself and make it all go away. However, what I realized about whole tones, about my 28-year-old marriage that's still a honeymoon, I mean, that's pretty much, I mean, if you have that, you're doing something right, my friend. I mean, if you can have your home life right, then you can go out and preach the gospel. If it's transverse, just stay home till you get it right. But I'm in a 28-year-old, almost 29-year-old honeymoon with the same woman that I'm in love with and loves Jesus a little bit more than me, and that's what makes it so good. But what I'm saying is that I've realized that the only calibration that I can really make that's going to make any difference is how I treat my wife, how I treat my friends, how I carry myself out in the world. No matter which way you cut me, am I bleeding the same Jesus? You know, do I have faith in the horrible times and the garbage times as well as I do in the up times? People are looking for something that's legitimate. And unfortunately, the term Christian right now is probably at the lowest bottom feeding place as a pastor and as a minister I've ever seen it. I mean, the apologetics necessary today to convince anyone, if that was necessary, that Christianity is valid is paramount. I mean, the statistics are bad. We used to be able to say we had the most solvent marriages. Not true anymore. I mean, the whole list of things that used to be the salient points for why I should convert as a Christian, you know, there has to be something that does it. And that passage I mentioned earlier in 1 Corinthians, that's what does it. Selfless love. Doing something for someone that you don't know because the bowels of compassionate mercy make you do it, and then their response to it. The response to something as simple as paying for someone's groceries in front of you that's looking in their wallet for $10 they thought they had, or paying someone's toll, or, you know, you think, well, that's just being nice to people. No. That's being Christ to people. That will make all Amen. Of the difference. Being in a restaurant and having a waitress tell you a story that she probably doesn't tell to anybody else, and then suddenly you realize, I have within my wallet the capacity to make a change. She needs $200. I have $200. I can do that. That's where it's at. And that, you know, the guys that are in my life, a lot of people say, well, what's your, you know, who are you connected with? I'm connected with some of the most stand-up believers in the world, and a publishing company, Barton Publishing, that Joe Barton is not only my publisher, but he's my friend, and I hope the guys are listening tonight, Marty and Maceo and Doug and Kev. They're at their quarterly meeting right now. You know, if you want to do something great find people that do something that you can't do and surround yourself with those people. Everybody goes, well, how did you get whole? How did I get whole tones out? I just made whole tones with God. But then I found people that love God like I do that have a trumpet and they want to blow it around the world and they do a great job at it, and that works really good. So I work with these guys named Barton Publishing, and they're the guys that that do the distribution and the marketing and stuff, you know. And I put like-minded people around me that want to help people. And a lot of times, like you guys know, like when you're on a radio station or you have an online, predominantly online business, everybody thinks you're out to, you know, to get rich quick and to take advantage of people. I can honestly tell you that in the first 4 months of Whole Tones, I personally probably gave away more than I sold. Because the bottom line is this. I want to see what Jesus wants to see. You know what Jesus wants to see? He wants to see every person love each other, and he wants everybody healed. And if you can poke holes in that and find something wrong with that, maybe you need to reevaluate your theology. Because the one thing I've learned about theology, my own inclusive, it's never as good as God really is. It's just as good as the man that you like the most that taught it to you. But as you get to become a friend and a son and a daughter of the Most High God, and as you're absolutely possessed by His Spirit, and yes, I said the word possessed, and I hope you are laid hold of by the Holy Spirit tonight, as that begins to happen, you realize that there isn't anything that man's ever written that really says how good God really is until you find Him for yourself. And to know Him is to love Him. And one thing I can tell all the listeners tonight, there's no mistaking love once you find it. You know it when you know it. Nobody can change your mind. And I remember ministering with Jason Upton in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania in 2003. And we were at a wonderful church there. And I met a man early in the day, a real skinny, he looked Ethiopian, a little skinny man. And as soon as I walked in the church, he started hugging me. And I started to cry. I didn't know who he was. And he said, I want to spend all day with you today. I said, okay. So he just walked around with me, and we went and spent some time praying. They had a little prayer room, and, you know, and this guy, so we went to eat in the green room, you know, and the little guy comes in there with me, and he's sitting next to me, and I'm thinking, who is this guy? I love this man, but I didn't know who he was, right? And so we played our time during worship, and when we sat down, all of a sudden that little guy got up and took the microphone. I look in the front row, and there's like Bill Johnson there, and all these luminaries, famous Christian people are in the front row, but they're not speaking. This little skinny guy from Africa is speaking. So I thought, oh my, I've been hanging out with the keynote speaker all day, and I didn't even know who he was. I don't even know his name. Guess what his name was? Supresa, spelled surprise. And so here's the best part. So everybody's literally, I mean, Bill Johnson's leaning forward in his chair. Everybody wants to know what this man's going to say. And he looks at everyone, and he made eye contact. He looked me straight in the eye. He looked at everybody, and he goes, I only have one thing to say. I came all the way from Africa to tell you what God says to you tonight, and this is it. I love you. I totally love every single one of you. I have never seen God move in a room like I did when that man said that. I haven't.
Wow.
And I've been a Christian for most of my life. That's all. And then he put the microphone down and he walked away. He didn't have to do anything else because that's what God wanted everybody to know, that he loves every single one of them. And when love is real, and when I say that, if I say that to the two of you, if I say I love you, you know that it's real and you can feel it in your body. And guess what love is? It's the greatest frequency of all. And so Amen. Many people, again, they want to try to, I don't know what it is. I remember when I was a little kid, I remember somebody was saying that that there's people that want to blow out your candle so their candle shines a little brighter, you know, which just comes from insecurity and pride. You know, I lost all of that stuff a long time ago, and along with it, I burned my sheriff's badge and my powdered judge wig, too, at the same time. And I'm just at a place right now where I'm just so absolutely undone by the goodness of God and by His ability to love people even though they're totally unlovable. And that He would trust me with something that literally I cannot tell you how many emails I'm getting a day. I wake up in the morning and it's like Christmas, about people that are telling me the stories about how they just got back from Iraq and they had PTSD and haven't slept in 2 years and put on the 396, it's called the Open Door CD, and they slept for 10 hours straight. They don't know what's happening, but they're starting to sleep again, and now they're starting to heal. The one lady who had a husband that came back from Afghanistan said, My husband hadn't spoke two words till he got home. He listened to your project. The next day he came and hugged my son and me and said, I love you so much. I'm going to be okay. I mean, when you hear this kind of stuff, how can you find bad in that? I don't get it. My point is it my music that's healing people? No! It's no different than the mud that made a blind man see. It's God that heals people. It's God that loves people. It's God that's so smitten by this faithless bunch that lives on this orb that he just wants to touch people any way available. Whole Tones is a tool that God gave me that my friends at Barton Publishing are helping me take to the world for one simple reason. If everyone comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and everyone is healed, I can't imagine a better scenario than that. And that's exactly what we are all about, nothing more and nothing less. The frequency part of this is simple, it's scientific, it's electrical, it's just the way that it is. If you go outside after the rain and you smell that smell, you go, oh, I love the smell after the rain. But did you know that it is actually something? It's called ozone. And it happens when the atmosphere is electrically charged because water in the atmosphere has a higher conductance than air. And so what happens? When the sun comes back out again, it charges that electron. And guess what it does? It creates O3, or an extra molecule of oxygen, and you can smell it, and you go, wow, I love the smell after it rains. But did you know that it's actually a molecule, extra molecule of oxygen? So many times it's our ignorance that absolutely binds us hands and foot and causes us to be like ostriches that bury their head in the sand. God is bigger than all of us. God is wiser than all of us. God is the genius and the genius of all creation. And within creation, he couldn't have created anything unless he spoke to it, and you can't speak without a frequency. And Amen. That's what everyone's hearing tonight. They're hearing the voice of my two new friends in Pennsylvania. They're hearing the voice of their new friend down in Florida. We're communicating through frequency. I'm communicating right now through a hardwire phone that operates off piezoelectricity and moves through a wire and touches the other side and ends up in a studio where you can hear what I'm saying. This isn't mysterious at all. It's so practical. But as long as we are always Christians that are looking for the devil and everything, you know, I shared this story earlier with Joe. I got to tell the people, it's important. There was a guy that spoke the other night. I don't remember his name, but he was using the word Satan flagrantly on the radio. And I've seen worship leaders sing that name. And it's really funny that people don't realize that words, thoughts, names, all of them possess a frequency. And isn't it interesting that it says that all authority has been given to the name of Jesus, okay? The opposite is true for the other name of the one that fell, who was formerly known as Lucifer. So if all creation and all divinity, yes, all supremacy is in the name of Jesus, then all chaos, hatred, everything that's dark and wicked is in the other name. And guess what? If you're broadcasting that, what are you doing? Well, there's a prince of the power of the air, and there's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're never going to surprise the one. God's never going to be like, oh, I don't know what to do now. But the point is that why in the world would you want to speak a name that is, well, let's put it this way. It's a name that not only never created anything, but the name itself cannot create any crystalline form in water, in frozen water molecules, which I think is fascinating, that if you were to say the name Jesus and freeze a water molecule, you'd see the most beautiful crystal you've ever seen in your life. If you said the word love, you'd see a beautiful crystal. But if you say Satan, it doesn't even form a crystalline shape. It's a non-penhedron, chaotic, broken cell wall. It looks like a broken piece of glass. I think that's pretty powerful when you think about the Lord even goes as far to say, take every thought captive. Make it your prisoner. Even thoughts are frequencies. So this whole idea that, like I said, we talked on the break, hopefully next time we can talk a little bit more about, tonight I just wanted to talk about just the goodness of the Lord. I was overwhelmed with it. But maybe next time when we talk a little, we can talk about how the same frequencies, you know, that we know of that are for good, how people have created, even in the government, frequencies that are for evil. And again, the power of life and death, or the frequencies of life and death are in the tongue. So, I mean, I was sharing with Joe earlier today, I met a woman one time in a church service, and it broke my heart. I couldn't break this off of her. She kept saying over and over again, she goes, I don't care what you say, my mother died when she was 33 years old from a heart attack, and I'm going to die of a heart attack on my 33rd birthday. That woman dropped dead of a massive coronary on her 33rd birthday. She'd been saying it her whole life. She believed it her whole life. You see? Jesus said that. That's not something we just picked up. Jesus talked about faith. He said it's a substance. She didn't see her death. She experienced it. It became a manifestation. It's so important that we watch what we say. It's so important that we speak life to each other. It's so important. I mean, I was talking with my wife of 28 years, Lillian, this morning, and I said, you know, the biggest danger in a marriage or in the body of Christ is verses. And maybe you've seen that, you know, on a boxing, in a, you know, like on a boxing card somewhere, so-and-so versus so-and-so. It basically, right. It means against. So Jesus said, listen, you're either for me or against. You're either for me or versus me. The same holds true of the body of Christ. We're only supposed to be known as one. See, no schism, no division, according to Brother Paul, right? So every time, I mean, you think about it, you expect people that aren't Christians to jump all over you. But the one thing you don't expect is somebody that serves the same God. Jesus was so outspoken about this when his disciples said, hey, this guy is over here, you know, healing people. You know, he said, well, whose name? Well, he's doing it in your name. But he said, well, leave him alone. What's the problem here? So you see good, and you see somebody giving Jesus all the credit for it, but I can't believe how many Christians come against Christians that are doing something that's so wonderful and provocative and so exciting, and it's helping people, but people think that it's not going along with their personal theology, so therefore it must be evil. Why do we look for evil where there's good, and why do we look for good where there's evil? I don't understand that, but I will say this. Once again, I want you to check out the website. I want you to read. There's testimonials there that will build your faith. I can tell all of our listeners tonight that there's countless worship teams that have changed their tuning from A equals 440 to A equals 444. Pastors that call me all the time telling me how the music has personally helped them and how it's helping their congregation. But once again, none of us ever separated the music from the maestro. We know who gets the credit. But I really want you to go to Whole Tones. That's WHOLETONES Live, LIVE .com. You can find all kinds of stuff, tons of videos of Yours Truly explaining all of this stuff. Like anything else. It's just like the guys that I met tonight, Hagman and Hagman. My goodness, it didn't take me very long to figure out who they work for and why they do what they do. It was pretty obvious that they're very lovable men that, listen, being a truth teller, it's the hardest thing in the world. It crucified Jesus and decapitated John the Baptist. Nobody likes the truth, but everybody says they want it. So I said all that to say I want you to know the truth, and I want you to experience the website, and I am so absolutely thankful for every minute. I don't know how long we have, but I've been absolutely blessed to spend this time with these two great men.
Wow. I got to tell you, we love you. We love your work. When I say your work, your product, your musical product.
And I got to say, this show, what you have shared in since the beginning of the show, I've wanted to jump in so many times, and I've been quiet because what you have shared has so many spiritual truths in it in so many different ways. From the beginning until now, that are overlooked for the most part, or we would say their basic understanding of how to live as a Christian. The distinctions you made between people who call themselves Christians, but you have a part or minority of those people who are different in mind and in spirit than those who call themselves Christians and do not walk that out in any way. And there's no distinction in their minds that anything's wrong. Dealing with the disconnect and the chaos of this world, but at the same time, giving the background and understanding as to why, from the spiritual and mental standpoint. And again, folks, if you joined us late, go back and listen from the beginning. I'm going to listen to the show again because this is a great teaching that you have laid out, knowingly or unknowingly. And
unknowingly,
there's a lot of spiritual meat there,
and I could feel that. I mean, and folks, wholetoneslive.com. That's wholetoneslive.com. Whole, that's WHOLT, toneslive.com. I got an email contemporaneous here right moments ago from someone who ordered and received listening to your music. And she said, in a nutshell, I'm not going to read this, it's a pretty extensive email, but bottom line is, I've been having trouble sleeping for literally 4 years. She goes on to list a lot of personal problems, and she said, you know, I have had some great night's sleep with the music playing in the background. And the healing, now you've got a healing frequency project, correct, on your website?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And that's I think there's, well, I'm right here. Okay, so on wholetoneslive.com, you can find seven songs in the Healing Frequency Project. Is this, for listeners who want to become introduced into your work, what should they do? Go on your website, wholetoneslive.com, and what could we advise our listeners what to do?
I always tell people, you know, And I'll digress to say that, you know, if you just have a business and you tell people, hey, just go listen to the samples, then, you know, people are going, well, you know, you're not going to sell as many. Listen, some of the best testimonies that I have, one of them is a registered nurse in Tampa, Florida, who had rheumatoid arthritis, who's a nurse. I mean, this is when it's really exciting, is when you get a call from a nurse who doesn't believe in any, she goes, I don't believe in any kind of chicanery, frou-frou, music, whatever. She said, I'm just going to tell you what happened. She said, I've had rheumatoid arthritis for 10 years. Somebody gave me your website. I went on and listened to one of your samples, and I fell asleep. She said, I woke up in the morning. That was 3 weeks ago. I have had no more pain. And she got x-rays and has no more rheumatoid arthritis, and she wants me to start speaking at some of these medical conventions now because she's a nurse. What else would she think? You know, she got healed from rheumatoid arthritis, which there is no, it's a degenerative disease. So unless God heals you, you're not getting healed. So the way I look at that is I tell everybody, listen, go to wholetoneslive.com. You'll see right there where it says samples. Just click on samples. You'll see these little discs. As soon as you push play, it's cool. The guy that designed them made it so they would spin like you're really listening to them, you know, that way. And see for yourself. I mean, that's the point. It's like, if you don't like it, you don't like it. If you don't think it's useful, but I can tell you right now, the one thing, you know, we always look at, there's a testimonial page on the top two I forgot to tell you. So if you click on that, you're going to read just countless testimonies of people that have been radically touched by Whole Tones. And a lot of people, which what I really love is that people, when they write, that say, I was away from God and I had no relationship with God whatsoever, and someone sent me to your website. I want to let you know now that not only is this music brought me back to the Lord, but it's now the music behind my devotions. And that, I mean, what is that worth, guys? So I would say just send the people to click on the samples and read some of the testimonies. And, you know, I mean, the Holy Spirit initiates all of this. So one more story I got to tell you, because it just blew me away. So, you know, all of us, none of us have perfect lives, and none of us, you know, you wake up every morning, the sun is shining, and, you know, you bounce out of bed. There's days where you just are kind of, yesterday was a day that was a blasé day. I mean, in the morning, it just was. And I got up to walk the dog. And it's so funny, like the dog really, really wanted to go for a walk. So it's still blowing my mind. I haven't even told the guys this story yet. But so I walk out of the house, and I make a left, and I just kind of go where the dog wants to go. And I go around the corner. There's a house that we always thought was empty. And I'm trying not to get emotional. And there was two cars there, and some guys out there talking. And I'm, you know, I'm kind of bold, and I just said, hey. I didn't know anyone lives here, and I start talking to the one guy, and he was super kind, and started asking him some questions about the property and some other things. And, you know, we were just talking and chit-chatting. He was telling me that they, you know, that they are flipping houses in the area and whatever. Then he said, so what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a musician, and I have this music that people really like called whole tones. And he stands back. He goes, whole tones? Now, remember, this is unusual for me. This shocks me when I'm, you know, in the middle of my dance, someone's even heard of it. But he's like, whole tones? Are you talking about W-H-O-L-E-T-O-N-E-S? I said, yeah. And he goes, wait a minute, turn sideways. And he goes, oh, my gosh, it's you. I thought, what is he talking about? And he said, my mother is so obsessed with whole tones that she bought it for every single person in our family. And he said, and I'm a born-again Christian, and this is changing my life. And the other guy was a Christian, and he was a pastor. And so just think about, just it gets better, but just think of the dynamic. I'm out, my dog has to go really bad. So that's when I go outside, I turn a corner, a house that's never had anyone around it. At that time, there's somebody there. It's two believers whose mother loves whole tones. And so the long story short is the one guy pastors a church and wants me to come help his worship team discover A equals 444. And I said, of course, but I said, well, let's do something really cool. We had just gotten a hardback book of the Sound of Healing, and I said, how about I autograph a book for your mom? He said, my stock will go through the roof. But anyway, they go back to the house with me, to my house, and then the guy's looking for me, and he starts crying. And I said, what are you feeling? He goes, you used to play guitar with Jason Upton, didn't you? And I said, yeah. And he said, there was a meeting that changed my life in Kansas City. It was at this big center. It was called the One Thing Conference. It was put on by the International House of Prayer. And he said, you spoke the night that my life was changed, and a guy named Jason Upton was playing keyboards, and you were speaking. Do you remember that night? And I said, well, I remember it like it was yesterday. And he said, well, now I'm a pastor. And so I'm just sitting here melting down because, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, today's a slow day, slow start, dog's got to go to the bathroom, I'm taking a walk. Next thing I know, I got two brothers at my house that whose mother thinks that whole tones is awesome, and she gets a book, and, you know, I get to hug these guys, and I just thought, wow, if we just don't think that we know how everything's supposed to go and we just roll with it, it's amazing the places that God takes us and the divine appointments that we run into and all of the neat things that happen. But I mean, it was mind-boggling that I go to a house and the guy there not only knows what whole tones is, but all of them got whole tones for Christmas. So.
That's wonderful. You know, we've had experiences like that as well, but not with the, and not to the extent, not to the to that extent where you've really changed the lives of the people. You've really done so much. I mean, your testimony alone is something to read, and it's just amazing. I would urge everyone to go to wholetoneslive.com. That's WHOLTETONES, wholetoneslive.com, as in whole body, you know, as in mm-hmm. the whole enchilada, okay? Mm-hmm. wholetoneslive.com. And read, because there's so much, you know, there's so much here, and we only have about 6 minutes left together. I wish it could be, you know, another 6 hours, because you've got so much to, you got so much to really talk about. What?
And I didn't say this to you before the show, but when I talked to Michael off air, I mentioned the fact that we could do a future show.
Oh, absolutely. We
and
want
yeah,
you to
he
back.
Was open to it, and we would yeah. absolutely love it, because there's so much more to talk about.
The biblical basis for music and how music and frequency, that's always fascinated me. It really has. And you really... you really laid it out nicely tonight. I mean, my goodness.
Well, maybe
I'm just
the
so
next
excited.
One we can talk about how there's always music that we don't know about that God, you know, there's one scripture I love. He says, if you don't worship me, right, mm-hmm. I'll cause the rocks to cry out and worship me. Okay? This is just food for thought for our next time together. I want to talk about, you know, we can talk about some of the sardonic, you know, weaponry stuff too, but I also want to talk about some of the things that the Lord does right beneath our feet that we don't understand. When he said that about the rocks crying out, most people listening and myself right now, I've got a nice watch on my wrist, you know. Without the frequency of that quartz stone, the watch wouldn't run. It cries out. It actually has a frequency that it cries out. If you don't believe me, you can go to any watchmaking company and they'll tell you the exact frequency that, that either the quartz, sapphire, diamond, whatever their jewel movement is, hence jewel movement, that that actual stone itself has a resonant frequency that creates a frequency. So, I mean, it was so awesome that Jesus said, listen, if I can't get the people that are, you know, the top of my species to worship me, I already have worship going on in the earth that you know not of. The cricket song to me is worship. The sound of the stones that are in the ground, the subatomic particles, everything sings to me because I created all of them. And we don't understand that that a Savior would never leave himself without worship, you know. And if we become so inept and we become so cold and dark that we can't worship him, he's still being worshiped in the earth. And that's what blesses me so much, is to know that I really don't want to be outdone by a quartz rock. I really don't.
Oh, my. I've never... That's great. And you know what, folks? Look, there are similar things on YouTube, okay? I gotta tell you, there's nothing like, YouTube has nothing on, wholetoneslive.com in terms of the, you think you can get, you know, something good from YouTube. No. Go to wholetoneslive.com. That's wholetoneslive.com. You talk about a powerful listening experience. You talk about this warm, enveloping songs. I talked with a lady, real quick, Michael, that every time that she gets physically ill, and she's infirmed right now, and every time she gets physically ill, she listens to worship music, and that does something for her. I mean, it heals her. But it's, and we had a discussion about this, knowing that you were coming on the air, and she said, you know, it has to do with the she called it tone, but the frequency of the music, you know. So there's a lot to be said here.
Yeah, I think that we should talk about David in the next one too, and just throw all of that as a weapon of worship, and how, what, why, you know, David was not the only, and it's not a harp, it's a kinor, that's important, but remember, David wasn't the only picker in Israel. There was lots of kinor players, but he was the only one that could go into Saul's court and rid him of his terrifying experience with the demonic. He was the only one that could bring peace in the midst of chaos. And I find that fascinating, that that's exactly what that key signature actually does. Like, in the most chaotic of times, you can test this too, listeners, like, in the sample. Let's just say you've gone through a real traumatic time at home, or real stressful, frustrating time at home, or you're going through a bout with insomnia, put the first sample on 396, and you tell me what happens. And there's a reason why, because that's what David did. And what it does, and how it affects the atmosphere, is second to none. I mean, to the point to where literally Saul was feeling deliverance when David would play upon his kinor of 10 strings. That's all I've ever wanted to do, is nobody's ever going to top the Psalms. I don't care how good a songwriter you are, a composer. No one's ever going to top the Psalms. I was just always being happy to compose in a similar key, if not the same key that David did, because I want to see people blessed and whole. I want to see people that can't sleep, obviously. And like we mentioned earlier, this works for dogs and cats too. I mean, yes. If you have a dog that has separation anxiety, every time you leave the house and the dog freaks out and shakes and whatever, if you leave the whole tones on, especially 396 hertz, you'll be shocked when you come home. I'm telling you, it works like I've never seen anything works. They are so happy, and they don't have separation anxiety. They come home, and they're curled up in a ball, and it's like, oh, hey. It's like they didn't even realize that you were gone. And with the rescue dog we have, she used to be really high-strung, so it would kind of freak her out when we would leave and be gone for a few hours. Now it's a non-issue. So the bottom line is, Michael, I'm not trying to hawk and sell something. I'm just telling you that it's important that we need wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We need to know what we're listening to. And I'm sure that was probably on the forefront of a lot of the listeners' things. Like, I'm not just going to listen to anything. What if it's up the devil? I can guarantee you this, that you've probably never heard anything that's closer to the heart of God than the frequencies that David played in, and that's what you'll hear with Whole Tones.
Thank you, Michael. We're getting the hook. Got to let you go. God bless you.
Thank you.